Durfusan,
How are you all today?
yeah. Okay.
So before we start the sermon, let's take a moment to bring our palms together in veneration to the perfect one, to the omniscient one, the one who showed us the path to the ultimate liberation, our teacher, our master, our guide light, the supremely enlightened Lord Buddha. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa Just think about how many things you do in life to satisfy yourself. It's not just one or two things. And when you take in the large scale, in the whole world scale, many people do many different things. Even if you take all beings as well, then humans do different things. Animals do other things. And all of those things come together, especially if you take the human being. Just think about how varied the things that people do. So one might want to be, let's say, when they grow up, they want to be a doctor. Another person might want to be an engineer. Some enjoy going on trips. Some enjoy watching movies. Some enjoy watching horror movies. Some enjoy watching funny movies, comedy movies. But it is not that there is one certain thing that satisfies every single person across the board. Is there something like that? If you think about it, there's no one single thing that satisfies all beings across the board. So we all have different problems. Therefore, we're coming up with different solutions to all the different problems that we have in our minds. But if you take something very common, for example, like thirst, there's only one answer. Why? Because to quench your thirst, you need water, right? So, if you have thirst, what is your answer? Water. If you have thirst, your answer would be water. If someone else on the other side of the planet gets a thirst, what is the answer? Water or some other liquid, right, which could quench your thirst. So what about someone else? So let's say we're in Sri Lanka today. So someone in Australia, what is the answer to the problem thirst? Water. What about someone from Russia? Same. From someone from the UK, someone from the USA, what is their answer to water? Sorry, thirst. Water. Water would always be an answer to thirst, independent of who it is that problem has occurred to. It doesn't matter who has the problem thirst, the answer for thirst is water. What about hunger? What is the answer for hunger? Food. The answer for hunger is food. So when someone is hungry, you give them food. When an animal is hungry, you give them food. When someone in the USA is hungry, you give them food. When someone in Sri Lanka is hungry, when someone is in India is hungry, when someone is in Russia is hungry, You give them food. It doesn't matter where they are. It is a very common problem. So we call those universal, because why do you call things universal? It's common for everyone in the universe, right? That's why there are universal remote controllers. So they say that you can turn on any TV with the universal remote controller, the TV controller. So any TV operates to that remote controller because it's universal. So just like that, we have universal problems like thirst and hunger. The basic needs, these are universal. Everyone has those problems. And there's only one answer, no matter who gets that problem. If you get thirst, you have the same answer. If someone in a different country gets thirst, they have the same answer. There's only one solution that exists. So there is a universal problem like that. But in our conduct, we see that people do different things in life. They have different paths. They have different walks in life. They walk different paths in life. They have different careers. They like different things. They like to experience different things. Some like to watch movies. Some don't like to watch movies. Some like to listen to music. Some don't like to listen to music. Some like to go on trips. Some don't like to go on trips. Just think the variety of this world. How different things that people want, and how different the ways of people or the ways of thinking of people. Why is that? That itself explains that there is no universal problem that people are trying to answer. That itself proves that none of those answers that we get, that we do in our conduct, are actually answers to a problem. Because if it is a problem that everyone has, then the problem should be with everyone. It should be universal. Your answer should be universal. But the very fact that your answer is not an answer to someone else, it means that the problem that you have, it's not universal. So just think about it. When you want to paint the wall green, someone else wants to paint the wall blue. When you want this flower vase to be here, this bouquet of flowers to be here, someone else wants it to be here. Because that's their cup of tea. That's how you say, it's not my cup of tea. Why is there something like that? Why is there a cup of tea? So if you have siblings and if you live a married life, you experience these. So when you're designing the house to build, you want the door to come here. But your other half want the door to come somewhere else. Why is that? That's because the problems in life that we experience, that we try to find answers to, are not actually universal. They're not universal problems. That's why our answers are not actually answering a universal question. That's why our answers aren't common among every single person, every single being. But there is a universal problem and a universal answer. This we need to understand. There is a universal problem. There is a universal answer to that. But not every answer is universal. That itself proves that there's only one problem in this world. Although we don't tend to see it as a problem, There's only one problem in this world, and there is only one answer to it. But just think about it, when science develops, what do they try to increase? They increase the knowledge, the amount of knowledge that people have, the amount of knowledge that they have found in the world. They try to increase that. When they increase that, then they find different solutions to different problems. But they never find the universal answer. But science is trying to find a universal answer. But never can they find something which satisfies every single mind. Because satisfaction happens not with solving a problem. Satisfaction happens when there is no problem at all. When there is a problem and you need to solve it, then it is hard to find satisfaction there. But when there is no problem at all, that's when satisfaction is there. That's when you don't need to satisfy anymore. That means you're already fulfilled. You're already filled. That's why they call the Arhatun Mahanses Imatek Piritcha. Ima means the brim, the top of the cup. If it's full till the top, if the cup is filled, it is completely filled, then there's no more space left to fill the cup. You don't need to pour water anymore into the cup because there's no space left for the cup to be filled. That is why they are the only ones who are completely satisfied. In the sense that they don't come up with a problem inside their head. Problems don't arise in their head. That is the satisfaction. Because all the problems that we experience today are not universal problems, are they? You want to go on a trip, someone else doesn't want to go on a trip. You want to come to the monastery, your friends don't want to come to the monastery. See, they're not universal problems. Then why are you all here? So there is one universal problem. That is why you call it universal, because there's only one universal problem. That is common to every single one. That is common to every single being. When you answer that universal problem, then all the other problems in your life goes away. Because they're not actually problems. They're actually made up problems. Because you have this universal problem. So therefore, when you find solutions to the problems in life, always try to think of that, is this a universal problem that I'm trying to solve? Or is this just a personal problem? Answering this would not cure the universal problem, because when there's a fire, smoke is always there. If you're seeing smoke, there's always a fire there. And when there's a fire, smoke is always there. Therefore, as long as you have a fire, you can't get rid of smoke. But that's what people are trying to do all the time. They keep the fire with them. They want to keep it. They want to protect it. They want to keep the fire burning and light lit as it is. But they don't want the smoke. They try to put fans. They try to fan away the smoke. They try to blow it out. But they want to keep the fire. Because you only keep a fire as long as you don't see it as a fire. Because otherwise you burn. You complain about a fire and you complain about burning, but you don't want to get it out. You don't want to put it out. Why? Because you don't see it as a fire. But you experience pain, you experience burn. Therefore, you don't want to put out the fire. Therefore, you complain about it, but you don't see the fire as a fire. You don't see that this fire is what's causing this. Look at this example. So this is person A. This is person B. This is you. This person throws rocks at him. When he gets hit, what he does is, so keep in your head that when he gets hit, so when he gets hit, he throws rocks at you. Okay? You can't see this. You can only see this. So you're only seeing that he's throwing rocks at me. That is the only thing that you're seeing. So what is your answer? To get rid of him. But when B goes away, C comes in. Again, he throws rocks at C. Then you complain again. Oh, why is he throwing rocks at me? I just got rid of B. Then you get rid of C as well. Then comes in D, E, F, G, H, until the end of the alphabet. And then double A comes in, A, B comes in, A, B, C comes in. So it goes so on and so forth. But you keep getting rid of this. So are you providing the solution to a problem? As long as there's someone here, he keeps throwing rocks at him. As long as you're here, this guy, when he gets hit by a rock, he throws rocks at you. But since you're seeing this part of the problem, you're always trying to find an answer by getting rid of him. If I get rid of him, then I wouldn't get hit by rocks. That is the solution that comes to your head. So as long as he's there, I would get hit. If I get rid of him, I wouldn't get hit. Therefore, my best answer is to get rid of him. If I get rid of him, then I wouldn't get hit. But then you forget that the next person comes in. D comes into life. Then E comes into your life. F, G, H comes into your life. And then starts throwing rocks at you because he's throwing rocks at them. And then one day, someone comes to you and then shows you, this person is not the problem. This person is the problem. As long as you have A, you will get hit no matter what. Because A is the culprit. He is the one who's throwing rocks at you. Although, indirectly, he's throwing rocks at you. He's not. When you look at the problem directly, nothing's there. There's no connection between A and this person. But as long as A is throwing rocks at him, he would just keep throwing rocks at you. So no matter who comes here, they'll be keep throwing rocks at you. So then someone comes into your life and then shows you that this A is the problem. If you get rid of A, once and for all, no matter who comes here, you wouldn't get hit by rocks. So then, you slowly get rid of A, and then there's no one to throw rocks at this person. Therefore, D comes in, you're not getting hit. E comes in, you're not getting hit. F comes in, you're not getting hit. G, H, I, J, K, dot, dot, dot. They all come into your life, but you won't get hit. You answered a universal problem. This was common to everyone. No matter who comes here, this was the problem. But before that very noble person who came to you, who came up to you and then showed to you that there is a problem with A, until that happened, you were ignorant about it. You didn't know that he was the problem. The only thing that you knew was this person is the problem. And everyone around you, all the other people around you, when you complain that this guy is hitting me, I just got rid of one person. And the next guy comes in and then he starts hitting me. He starts throwing rocks at me. When you complain like that, you went to your friends, you went to your family, when you complain like that, and then what is the answer that they give? Just get rid of him. And the problem solved. Yes, the problem with him was solved. But did you answer the universal problem? Did all the problems in your life get solved? No. You wanted to go to Australia, and you went to Australia. But next time you want to go to Dubai. And then you go to Dubai as well. Then next time that you're going planning vacations, you want to go to Sigiriya. Then you went there as well. Is it finished? It's not finished. Because you are trying to answer in these problems. But you didn't get rid of A, which was the universal problem. He's your friend, actually. He's your friend that is sitting on your ear, but eating you from inside. He's your friend. He's the one who whispers at you, saying that, you have to do this now. This is what you have to do. And then when something's not working, see, I told you it's not going to work. Just do this. That's the next thing that you have to try. So when you went to different trips and then you said, you told him, this is your best friend. You told him that this is not satisfying me. Then try watching a movie. Then you watch the movie as well. And then you, at the end of the movie, you say, that's good, but still I don't feel satisfied. I don't feel that this is what I need in life. Then he tells you, let's throw a party. At least that might help you. Then you do that. Still, you go back to him. You're asking the thief's mother where the thief is. Would she ever tell you? No. There's a famous saying in Sinhalese that Horage ammagin pena hana wage. You're asking the thief's mother. He would never tell you that he is the problem. Because he's on your ear, he's your best friend. And you don't feel that he's an enemy either. But he's the one who's whispering in your ear and saying, and says all the things that would help you to get rid of him and then replace it with someone else. But no matter who you replace this person with, as long as A is here, as long as this person who's whispering in your ear is there, this person would be throwing rocks at you. So that is not a solution. That is why it's not a universal solution. Because it's not solving the universe, it's not solving a universal problem. It's just solving a current problem, but that is not the problem. Because you see it as a problem when you're solving it. You see dukkha. You see suffering. When you don't have something, you see suffering there. And say, you want to go on a trip, you want to watch a movie, you want to listen to a song. When you don't have it, you see a problem there. You see suffering there. Because I don't have it. you see suffering. And then you also see the cause of suffering. You see the cause of suffering. What is the cause of suffering? Not having that certain thing. That is the cause of suffering that you see. And then you also see the cessation of suffering. Or the eradication of suffering. You also see that. And then you also see a path to the eradication of suffering. See, you see the four truths. Not the noble, but the four truths. You see suffering, you see the cause of suffering, you see the eradication of suffering, and you see a path to the eradication. I don't have a movie to watch. That is the cause. So I'm suffering right now. And then you ask the guy on your ear, why? Watch a movie. Oh, I don't have it. That's the cause of suffering. Then you come up with the eradication of suffering. You see, if I have a movie, then the suffering would not be there. And then you find a path. You go to the shop or you go to the cinema. You rent a movie or you buy a movie. Or then you buy tickets. And then you go in and watch. Happy? No. And then again, after that, suffering. Problems. Lonely. Then again you ask this guy, listen to a song. Ah, that's the cause of suffering. Then you find the eradication of suffering. If I listen to a song, suffering would not be there. Then you find the path. Okay, go get a song and download it. Listen to it. Happy? No. And then again you ask this very friend. Still suffering. Go on a trip. Ah, that's the cause of suffering. Then you find the path to the eradication of suffering, going on a trip. Happy? If happiness came in those things, if satisfaction came in those things, then you should be happy by now. How many times you are trying these four things? Every single attempt was to these four things. You saw suffering, you saw cause of suffering, you saw eradication of suffering, and you saw a path to it. And then you acted on those four things. See, these four truths, the four truths are not just, they're not magic. These were things that you were doing. These are things that you're doing. But the only difference is that you're missing the noble part. Only if the noble part comes in, then this becomes an answer. This becomes seeing the universal problem, and this becomes an answer to the universal problem. That's where noble, or that's why seeing suffering becomes noble. That's why they call the noble four noble truths. That's when you start to see the truth. That's when you start to see the real cause of suffering, the real eradication of suffering, the real path, or the true path to the eradication of suffering. That's when you start to see that. But until you see the four noble truths, the four noble truths, you are acting upon the four truths. Because A is always there. He's the person who tells you to act upon the four truths. See, the only part that you're missing, he is actually a friend. He has taught you all of these. Problem solving. He has taught you them, those things. You're only missing the noble part. That is getting rid of himself. That is the only part that you're missing. That's how it says, Dukkho loke patittita. The Buddha had said this. Why is that? That's because there are different interpretations of this as you go deeper. But the Buddha had said that the whole world, it depends on this, it stays on this, it stands on this dukkha. It stands on this dukkha. Let's see why. So, when you have a problem in life, we try to see that, so, here, when we apply the Dhamma practically, this is a problem, very common problem that many people come up with, right? That is that we talk about all these things, right? So we talk about, we talk to the depths of the Dhamma as well. As Guru Chandra says it, as Guru Chandra puts it, he has even explained the Dhamma to make an Arithanvanse a Buddha. You can't do that, but that is how he says. Because there are lots of things that we discuss. So when you discuss these things, there is a part that we need to clearly understand. And that is, there is a part that we actually experience. There is a part that we actually experience as our day-to-day lives. And there is a part that we need to see through wisdom. That we need to understand through wisdom. That is where wisdom comes into play. There is a part that we experience, and there is a part that we see through wisdom. So the part that we experience, we have to understand that part very well, and then focus our way of thinking to the main problem. Because otherwise we would go around answering different, we would go around finding different solutions, but not to the universal problem. They might know the Dhamma, because these are the places that comes in where we know the Dhamma, but it doesn't feel like applying. We know a lot of Dhamma, but it might not apply to our lives. We know how everything works, we know how what anicca is, we know that it's always chaos to order, and we know dukkha, what dukkha is, and we know what anatta is, we know all of those things. But there might come a problem that, although I know all of these things, it doesn't really apply. There is a lot to know, but it hasn't gone into the understanding. So we know that there is a difference between understanding and knowledge, right? So understanding, it's actually seeing what you have understood, or what is in your knowledge through your life. That is your understanding. The more the knowledge has applied to your life, it is your understanding. Because then you would always take decisions on that understanding. No matter whether you have a big knowledge, because think about it. So we know about Chullapantaka Maharatan Mahanse. So he was a Swaminahanse who couldn't even memorize a 4-line stanza. So then his brother was Mahapantaka Maharatan Mahanse. He was an Arithun Mahanse back then. And then when Chullapantaka Hamru, he couldn't memorize a 4-line stanza. And then he was complaining this to Mahapantaka Maharatan Mahanse. And then after some time, Mahapantaka Maharatan Mahanse told this Chullapantaka Hamru to, okay, so if you can't do this, and if you can't hold on to the sasana, then it's better that you leave and go on. Maybe later in life you can come back. And then Chulapanthakanandaro was very sad after hearing this, because he has to leave the sasana. And his ayya, or his brother, his elder brother, Mahapanthaka Maharatan Mahanse, is telling this. This is an Arithun Mahanse. Because Arithun Mahanse always sees the best for him, right? According to the Arithun Mahanse's knowledge. Because knowledge and wisdom are two different things. So then, Chulapanthakanandaro was crying. Maybe he wasn't crying, but he was very sad about it. And then the Buddha saw this, and then he came to Chulapanthakanandaro and then asked the what the problem is. Of course, the Buddha doesn't need to ask, but he asked. And then Chulapanthakanandaro explained everything, and then the Buddha said, okay, come with me. And then he gave a piece of cloth and then asked him to wipe it, saying that, may this not get dirty. A piece of white cloth, he gave it to Chulapanthakanandaro and then told him to wipe it, saying that, making a resolve that, may this not get dirty, and to wipe it with your hand. So it is said in the stories that when he started, and then towards the evening, he became an Arithun Mahanse. What did he knew? What was his knowledge? Did he know how to add 2 plus 2? We don't know. Maybe he didn't even know that, because he might have not gone to school. He didn't even know that. So you don't need that knowledge. That is something else. Did he know F equals MA? Did he know physics? Did he know chemistry? Did he know biology? No, he didn't know any of those things. Did he even know how gravity works? No. But towards the end of the day, he became an Arithun Mahanse. That's why when there's wisdom, you don't need knowledge. And for wisdom, you don't need knowledge. And for knowledge, you don't need wisdom. But when you have wisdom, you don't want knowledge. But of course, you need knowledge to live in the world and all those things. But that is one thing. Living in the world is one thing. And understanding the Dhamma, applying it to your life, is another thing. For that, you don't need knowledge. That is one thing, and the knowledge is one thing. That is why Chulapanthaka Maharatan Mahanse became Chulapanthaka Maharatan Mahanse. He couldn't even memorize a 4-line stanza. So that is who he was. So the reason why he understood the Dhamma, we'll discuss that on a later day, another day, because just think about it. When he wanted the piece of cloth not to get dirty, and that is what his resolve was, he was wiping it, he slowly got to know that it is the causes that is causing an effect. When causes are present, no matter what he wants, it doesn't matter what he wants. The effect manifests. He started slowly seeing that, because although it is said in the stories that the Buddha gave a piece of cloth and then told him to wipe it, saying that may this not get dirty, the Buddha might have said something else as well, right? In the stories, it just says that part. But then the Buddha might have explained what is happening. And at that time, Chulapanthakanandaro might have become a Sotapanna person, a stream enterer. That's all he needs. Because he saw A. He saw A as the problem. And then, as soon as he started to wipe the cloth, he realized, little by little, that A is the problem. And then towards the end of the day, he got rid of A. Okay, so, when you have a problem, now, let's say, for example, you want to eat something. Say your favorite food. So, do you have it now with you? No. So, what is the state of mind that you're in right now? Grief, because you don't have it. So, you're grieving over it. And then you go to the shop. So, now you see suffering here. I don't have it. Let's say, for example, pizza. I don't have pizza, therefore, you see suffering as not having pizza. The cause of suffering is I don't have pizza. Eradication of suffering? Go to the shop or call, give a call to the delivery service and then order pizza. And that is the path to the cessation of suffering. You conduct yourself on that and you lay down your actions on that path and then you get pizza delivered to your house. Now? Now you release out of your grievance. You relieve out of grieving. And then you experience pleasure. But when you experience pleasure, we feel that pleasure is coming from pizza. Okay, we experience pleasure is coming from pizza, but here's a quick tip. If pleasure is coming from pizza, then try this next time that you want to eat pizza. You eat pizza for morning, you eat pizza for lunch, you eat pizza for dinner, and then next day morning pizza, next day lunch pizza, next day evening pizza. Can you eat the same things over and over and over again for every single meal? Why not? If happiness was in pizza, if that is your favorite food, then you should be able to eat it every single meal. But why can't you? Because the pleasure didn't come from pizza. Because we tend to see a graph like this. Again, graphs. So we tend to see a graph like this when you think about pizza. So this is pizza. And then this is happiness. Right, so we tend to see a graph like this. On the day one, you eat pizza, and then since you were grieving till the day one, you're very happy. And then day two, say, okay. Day three, it goes down. Day four, again. Day five, so this should be time actually. And then over time, you see it goes down. But is it happening over time? So we see a graph like this. But if happiness came from pizza, independent of time, you should have a graph like this. Because if happiness was in pizza, then every single time you eat pizza, every single time you experience pizza, then it should bring you the same amount of happiness. So this graph is wrong. According to direct proportion, you can't say that this graph does not correlate. It does not go hand in hand because there is a third variable which is affecting this, which is affecting your happiness. It is not time, although it is seen as time. It is not time that is affecting this. It is not pizza that is affecting this. It is the amount of suffering or the amount of vexation that is inside your head which is affecting it. It is whether that wave of pizza comes into your head in the way it came into your head the first day. It is affecting it. Because that wave of pizza does not come into your head the second day as it came on the first day because now you have experienced it. Now, here's the thing. When you experience it, what do you feel the happiness came from? Pizza. Therefore, so first it was a knowledge. Someone told you that pizza can bring you happiness. First it was a knowledge. And then when you eat it, now you experience it. When you experience it, there's a difference between knowledge, knowing something, and actually experiencing it. So let's say, so there are people who can actually see these, the beings that we talk about in, for example, like the Pretas. And so there are people who can see it. But today, you might have heard of stories and different things. Maybe you can't see them. But one day you actually see them. And there's a clear difference between knowing something and actually seeing it. And another example would be, let's say there's a wire. And someone says that this wire has electricity in it. So don't touch it. Someone says it. And then you believe in them. When you believe in them, you're not going to touch that wire. But one day, you somehow accidentally touch that wire. When you touch that wire, you find out that there is no electricity in it. And then the next day you see the same wire. And then the person who told you that there is electricity in the wire comes in and tells it to you again, don't touch it. How many times does he have to tell you for you to believe it? Because now you have experienced it. That is the problem with this. Because now you have experienced as pizza bringing you happiness. You have linked those two things. There is a famous experiment done by a psychologist called Ivan Pavlov. So he'd conducted an experiment where, I can't remember the name exactly, but in this experiment, he set up a dog and to check how much he salivates when he's shown food, right? Then he goes on to the next step. First he shows food and then checks the amount of salivation that the dog does. And then he goes on to the next step, and then he tries to pair, this is called pairing of stimulus. He tries to pair a bell with food. So he shows the dog food and then rings a bell at the same time. So when this happens, the dog sort of understands that it is the bell and the food. If I hear the bell, then the food. So then he goes on to the next step and rings the bell, gives the dog food, and then checks his salivation. And then he checks, his final experiment is that he removes the food, he doesn't give the dog food, but just rings the bell. So when the bell rings, dog knows food is coming. Can't you remember the interval bell? I mean, we've been like Pavlov's experiment. When the interval bell goes off, what happens? People start shouting and screaming, and we all take our lunch boxes. We're very happy. Not that anything happened. Just the bell went off, because we have experienced that if the bell goes off, then fun comes in. So the interval bell or the recess bell goes off, and then it is the time that we have to have fun in the school. So just like that, this dog understood that if the bell comes, then next comes food. Therefore, food equals bell. So bell, when he hears the bell, he's very happy. So therefore, he started salivating when he hears the bell, without even seeing food. But at first, so before conducting the experiment, before everything started with food, he just rang a bell to check this dog's salivation. Nothing happened at first. And then again, he reversed the experiment. Without giving food, he rang the bell a few times. He rang the bell and just stayed without giving food. And the level of salivation, every time the bell rang, dropped. And then it came to a point where he didn't salivate again. Because the dog, again, eventually understood that the bell does not bring food. But as long as you give food after the bell, the dogs start pairing those stimuluses. So the food is one stimulus, the bell is another stimulus. And then inside his mind, inside his head, he started to pair those two things. And then he understood eventually that the bell, then food. Bell means fun. So the experience that he gets with food, he pairs it directly to the bell, skipping the food. So when he eats food, he feels some sort of pleasure, right? So that experience, he pairs with the bell. He knows when the bell goes off, I'm going to experience this. And therefore, bell equals pleasure. He skips the food part. He forgets that it is the food that, according to this example, right? He forgets that it is the food that brought him pleasure. It is not the food that brought him pleasure, but according to this example, he forgets that it is the food that brought him pleasure. And then he skips that part, and then he ties it, that pleasure, with the stimulus of the bell. So when he gets a bell, he gets pleasure. Just like that, the same thing happens to us. When you see pizza, then comes in pleasure. Because the path to eradication of suffering is eating the pizza. Because when we experience pleasure, then the next time, it's not just a view. That pizza bringing me happiness is not just a view. It is an experience. That is why you go and share it with others. Because you want them to have that experience as well. You go and share it with others, your friends, your family. Try pizza. That brings you happiness. You share it with others in your family, friends, relatives, and neighbors, everyone. You share it with them. Why? Because now it is an experience. It's not just a view. But if it's just a view, then you would go to them and say that someone told me this. This might be true or not. But now you talk in experience. Now you talk to them just like, this is going to bring you happiness. But what if they're allergic to pizza? They're yet to find out. Then would they experience happiness? They wouldn't. But now you talk in experience. That is the pitfall, that is the pit that we fall into. That we try to see that, we try to pair this bell with happiness, which is we try to pair pizza with the happiness that we experience, but that is not so. Happiness is an outcome of a different process. Pizza is just another thing on the side. The happiness that we experience, it is coming as an outcome of a different process. But apparently, pizza is also there. So what happens is, when someone tells us that pizza brings us happiness, now we want to experience pizza because we actually want to experience happiness, not pizza. But when they say that pizza can bring us this expectation, what we are expecting right now, because this is what we are trying to experience from our birth, happiness. We always saw this. An answer to this was always happiness. When we see suffering inside our heads, when we feel suffering, an answer to that is relieving out of it. And every single time we try to see the cause of it. And then always the cause was not having something. Therefore, the answer was always to get something. Always the grief, the cause of grief, the cause of suffering was not having something. Not having to watch a movie, not having to watch a film, not having to listen to a song, not having to go to a country, not having to eat something, not having to do something, not having to experience something. These were the things that we saw as problems. Not having. Therefore, we tried to get rid of not having by having. Because we thought that when not having is there, that is the problem, and to solve it, having is the answer. So let's go to the example of the pizza again. Someone told you that pizza is good, and therefore now you don't have pizza. Now you're in grief. Now what is the answer to that? Eradication of suffering? Getting pizza. So you call the pizza company and then you order it. And then now you have pizza. Then you turn grief into pleasure. So here what we need to understand is that when we didn't have pizza, we were in grief. And relieving out of that grief itself was the pleasure. That is what brought us pleasure, not pizza. In fact, we fell into grief in the first place is because someone told us that pizza could bring us happiness. Because this is what we are searching for. Happiness, that is the opposite of suffering. Because we were in suffering, we were searching for happiness. And someone told us apparently pizza could bring us happiness. See, we forgot what we were actually searching for. Now, we're not actually going after happiness, we are going after pizza. Because we skipped the happiness part, just like the dog did. He skipped the food part and then paired it with the bell. When someone tells you that pizza can bring you happiness, then you skip the happiness part and then you pair it with happiness. You pair the relief of the suffering with happiness. The only thing that can get rid of this suffering right now is pizza. So I have a video to show you, something that I promised to show you way back then. I'll show it to you today.
Okay, sit in that chair. All right, here's the deal. Marshmallow, for you. You can either wait, and I'll give you another one if you wait, or you can eat it now. When I come back, I'll give you another one. So then you'll have two. But stay in here and stay in the chair till I come back, okay?
Okay.
All right.
Okay, pause for a bit. Okay, so now they know that marshmallow brings me happiness. So currently they're in grief. But they have given a solution. They have given or what you call rules or a way to play the game, which is if you stay, you get two. If you eat it, you just have one. So either release it now or release it later. So if you have two, you get double happiness. Okay.
I'm gonna go do something and then I'll come back.
It smells yummy. It smells really good.
Just think of the amount of vexation that they're going through.
So it's up to you. You can have it now or you can wait. Okay? I'll be back. Stay in the chair, okay? Okay. Thank you. All right, so I'm gonna leave and then I'll come back, okay? So you can either eat it right now or you can wait. Either way, okay? Okay. How'd you do? Did you do good? You did?
Yeah.
You wanted to eat it, didn't you? Yeah. So did I tell you I'd give you another one? Okay, now you can have both. You need them.
As when they find a wrong solution to a wrong problem. Throughout the whole time, they thought that this, what's on my plate, is going to bring me happiness. And I'm being kept held from it. That is what they thought. But they knew something else as well. That if I wait, double happiness. So I would experience more happiness if I get two. And the pit that they fell into was that they actually experienced more happiness. They think it's because they got two. But they experience more happiness is because they waited for 15 minutes staring at that thing. And throughout the whole time, inside their head, it was going on that this happiness, this happiness, this happiness. Throughout the whole time, it was going like that. And therefore, at the end, they got two. And they think all of this happiness came from the two marshmallows. So this is a test that they conduct to find out how effective or how self-disciplined that these children will be in the future. So if they were able to bear it for the whole time, for whole 15 minutes, and then achieve the two marshmallows, then they're said to be good people in the sense that disciplined people in the future. They have self-control, that's what they say. But although they have self-control, they're still doing the wrong thing, aren't they? That is not the way to have self-control. Patience is not the way to have self-control. In fact, the Buddha was the perfect one. He was the one without at least a bit of patience. Huh? He didn't have patience at all. He was the least patient among all of us. He didn't have patience. He wasn't in the spectrum of patience. He exceeded that. He finished that. He didn't want that spectrum of patience. He didn't have that spectrum. But you all are on a spectrum of patience, aren't you? Every single person on earth, if they're not an Arhatunwanse, they're on a spectrum of patience. That's why you say that don't exceed my red alarm. Don't light my red alarm and you'll have to regret it. What you're saying at that time is that don't exceed my patience limit, because I have a limit to my patience. And then if I exceed that, you'll see the bad Tati. You'll see the bad Ammi. So there's a level of patience, there's a spectrum of patience that you fluctuate in. There's a limit of your patience. And someone can try it. Someone can trial it. How patient you are. But what about the Buddha? That's why he doesn't have patience. Because he's not a patient. Every patient has patience. They're in a spectrum of patience. If it's not a patient, then they don't need patience. They're not in the spectrum. That is why when we have heard the Aloka Sutta, where this is a king of devils, He doesn't know who the Buddha is. If the Buddha wanted to, he could order the, because the who's looking after the devils as well is the god called Vaishavana. He's in the bottommost Deva world. He's in the Chatur Maharajika. So we have heard four devas who looks after different things, different aspects of the human world, and that is Dasarata, Viruha, Virupaksha, Vaishavana. This Vaishavana Deva, he's a king of devas. He's one of the kings, and all the king of devas is the Sakadeva. So he owns one kingdom of the Deva world, of the bottommost Deva world, and he's the one who's looking after these devils. And the devils, basically. So he's the king of the devils. So he has gone under the refuge of the Buddha. So if the Buddha wanted to, he can just tie Aloka with chains. He can chain him down. He just has to say, tell it to the Vaishavana king. But did he do that? No. The devil came in, and the Buddha was sitting on his throne. And the devil ordered the Buddha, go out. Although in the books it says in decent words, but he was the king, and in his palace a stranger is sitting on his throne. What do you think he would feel? It is a disgrace to the king, right? So although in the books we see very decent words, but he might have not ordered the Buddha to just step outside. And then the Buddha got up, stepped outside. And then he thought to himself, this is a good way. And then he started mocking the Buddha. And he ordered him to come in. Okay, come in. And then the Buddha silently walked in. And then again he told him to, okay, go out. And then the Buddha silently walked outside. So he did this 3 times. And told him to come in and then go out again and then come in. And on the 4th occasion, when he tells the Buddha to go out, because the Buddha knows something other than he does. What that is that if you tire the Buddha more than 3 times, then it is said that the head of that person who is tiring the Buddha will split into 7. It will burst. Because this is the fountain of compassion that you're wasting, that you're tiring. This is the greatness of the whole universe that you're tiring. So if that is to tire, then more than 3 times, then, I mean, something should happen to the person who's tiring, right? So therefore, because the Buddha knew that, he said, no, I'm not going anywhere now. And then the Aloka says that, okay, if that is so, if that is how you want to deal with me, then I'll ask a question. Failing to answer that, I'll take you from the 2 legs and then hit you on the riverbank. I'll split your heart into 2 and then kill you. That is what the Aloka says. And the Buddha says that, okay, but just keep a note, just note this in your head, that there is no one who can do this, to do that to me in this all 3 worlds. In this whole universe, there is no one who can do that to me. But I'll answer your question. That is what the Buddha says. So he didn't need patience. Because he wasn't a patient. Patience is needed by patience. So just think to yourself, are you a patient who's in need of patience? Or are you a son of the Buddha who's walking on that path and who doesn't need patience? Okay, so when you have grief, you relieve it out by seeking pleasure. How do you seek pleasure? By getting what you don't have. So this is not having. Here you have. So when you have, you got rid of what? You got rid of not having. Right? But there's something here. So when you want something, that's when you fall into grief. That's when you fall into vexation. Then you get rid of grief by getting it, by having it, and then you got rid of not having. But your wanting is still there. You get rid of not having, but you don't get rid of your wanting. Therefore, it is still there. But when this happens, something happens along the spectrum. That is that you get pizza, and when you get pizza, you experience happiness. Then you tie that experience of happiness with pizza. Then you think that pizza brought me happiness, but unfortunately, the more you stay in grief, the more happier you feel. The more you long, the happier you would feel. The more you vex yourself, the more the mind vexes, the happier the mind feels. Because it's just like this. Take your thumb up, and pull it back as hard as possible. Don't break it. Pull it back as hard as possible. And then release it. You feel a relief, right? But before you doing that, your thumb was at the same position. Where is that relief? Your thumb was at the same position before you pulled it back. But now, again, you don't have relief now. But when you pulled it back and then released it, now you feel a relief. That is the same relief, that is the same thing that happens to the mind. The mind vexes and then releases it. That relieving out of vexation is what you feel as pleasure. But unfortunately, you see that as coming from pizza. Because at that time of release, you have pizza on your plate. At that time of relief, you have pizza inside your mouth. You're chewing pizza at that time of release. You're experiencing a taste of pizza at that time of release. That's right, that child, at the time of release, he's experiencing the taste of marshmallows. So no wonder why he would tie into the experience of marshmallows as happiness. He would pair those two stimuluses. He would pair his happiness that he experiences with the stimulus of marshmallows. Because when he eats marshmallows, he experiences happiness. But what he fails to understand is that the experience of happiness came from relieving out of the pain that he had mentally. That can be easily found out by giving him more marshmallows. The more marshmallows he eats, there would come a point that he just don't want marshmallows anymore. But again, that is not a solution either. Because although you give him more marshmallows, wanting is still there. At that time, you don't have vexation. Vexation is released once, twice, thrice, and then you don't want marshmallows anymore at that time. Now you want something else. When you want something else, you're grieving over that. This is the life experience that you're going through. This is the path that you experience in life. But what we tend to see as a problem is this not having part. That is what we see as suffering. So what we need to do, ladies and gentlemen, is that we need to redirect the way of our thinking from not having to wanting. To see wanting as the problem. Because when we want only, not having becomes a problem. If we don't want it in the first place, not having is not a problem. So this is the path that we experience. We want something, and then because we don't have it, we see this as a problem, we see this as a suffering, and then we find the cause of suffering. And then eradication of suffering, and then path to the eradication of suffering. And then we try to go on this path. We seek pleasure. Because we feel that pleasure comes from the outside things. Because those are the views that we have. That is the view that we have. When you're suffering, someone tells us, this is good to release your suffering. It comes in different guise. It comes in, this would bring you happiness. Because you're currently searching for happiness. Because currently you're seeing the problem as not having. To see the problem as not having, you've been put a view that this would bring you happiness, this would release your suffering. Then, not having that is the cause of my suffering. But every single time you are suffering, every single time you're in vexation, try to see that this is the problem. Wanting is the problem. Try to focus your mind to wanting as a problem. Try to see that as the main culprit. Try to see that as the main problem. Because only if you see that as a main problem, then anicca, dukkha and anatta becomes an answer. Because as long as you see this as the problem, you go down this way. You go down the fourth truth. You go down the four truths as long as you see not having as a problem. But when you start seeing wanting as the problem, now you start to see that not having becomes a problem because I want it. Then you don't go down this way. Then you don't go down the four truths, then you start seeing the four noble truths. Because you spotted, this is what's causing this. That is what you spot. That is what you have to change your pace to. That is where you have to change the way you think to. That wanting is a problem. To try to focus on that. Because otherwise, just think about it, when, let's say, your teacher, the class teacher, comes in, and then she just writes 4 on the board and leaves. You think to yourself, huh? Is she crazy or am I crazy? And then the next day she comes in, and then she writes 8, and then she leaves. But what she should have done, or what she usually do, is first day she comes in and then she writes and she leaves. Now you're trying to find an answer to this. Next day she comes in, write and she leaves. Now you're trying to find an answer to that. Then she comes on the next day, and then she writes. Now you get, this is what it means. So 4 and 8 are answers. But on the first day, if she'd written that, are they answers? Or are they just numbers? They're just numbers. But that number became an answer when you have a problem. The number became an answer when she gave you the problem to focus on. When you understood that there is a problem, that number became an answer. Otherwise, the number was just a knowledge. It's just another thing. It's just another thing that you know. So this is anicca, dukkha and anatta. This is the Dhamma. This is anicca, dukkha and anatta. It's just another thing. If you don't see the problem. Because anicca, dukkha and anatta are solutions. to a problem. But they only become solutions when you see the problem. That is why in the Dhammacakka Sutta, the Buddha doesn't go and say that, I found a solution. He doesn't say that. He doesn't say, I found anicca, dukkha, and anatta. He doesn't say that. He says that, dukkhe jnana. Idan dukkhan, ariya satchantime pubbe anamusadhyata dhamme su chakkun udapadi. I saw the problem. That is what he says. He doesn't say that, I saw a solution. Because first, he needs to say that there is a problem in life. There is a thing that you need to crack. There is a way that you need to direct your thinking to. So that is what he says. Idan dukkha. I saw dukkha. That is what he says. I saw the problem. Then he goes on to say that I saw the cause to the problem. Then the five ascetics who were sitting down in front of the Buddha were getting to know that, now he's onto something. Because first they thought that the Buddha is not doing what he started to do. Because when the Buddha went to, so not the Buddha, the Bodhisattva, went on into an ascetic life, he started to become an extreme ascetic, where he stopped eating food and just ate very small things that fell in front of him, and then he went to the extreme levels of that. And then when he stopped that, the five ascetics left the Buddha thinking that he had just given up. It's not gonna work. But then he comes onto these five ascetics and then didn't give them the solution. He comes to the five ascetics and then shows them that there is a problem. I saw the problem. I realized the problem. I saw the problem with wisdom. That is what I did. Idan dukkham. That is what he says. And then he says, I found the cause of that problem as well. Then he says, I found the eradication of that problem will eradicate the problem. So eradication of that problem, the solution to it. And then he says that I found the path to that eradication. That's right. As long as you see this as a problem, not having as a problem, you start answering that. It's just a matter of what you see as a problem here. Because you're very good at answering. The mind, when it has a problem, it tries to solve it. It tries to find an answers to it throughout its knowledge. Then Dhamma is also in your knowledge. It becomes an answer when you have the right problem. Otherwise, it'll just, because the Dhamma it's itself is another science. It's another science. It's just another thing. Unless you have a problem. It's just another thing. It becomes just another thing if you don't have a problem. In a sense, we all have the problem, but if we don't see the problem as a problem, then the Dhamma doesn't become a solution. Anicca, dukkha, and anatta does not become a solution. So, try to focus on this wanting as a problem. Every single time you experience something, we'll see as we... Do I have to finish at 9? 9:15, thank you. So, as we don't have enough time today, so I'll explain how you solve this problem when you see this as a problem. But first we need to try to understand this as a problem. Because when you try to understand, your mind always tries to solve problems, because that is what it's trained to. That is the way the mind works. When it has a problem, it tries to solve it. So therefore, when you see this as a problem, then comes the next step. What is the answer to this? How to solve this? That's when anicca, dukkha, anatta comes into play. When you see wanting as a problem, the answer to wanting is anicca, dukkha, anatta. But as long as you don't see wanting as a problem, then the problem in life would also always be not having. Because suffering is a problem, and the answer to suffering would always be having something, getting something, experiencing something. That is what the answer to not having would always be. When you don't see the right problem. That's why people do many different things in the world. That's why they develop many, many different things. That's why technology develops. Because every single day by day, they see suffering, but they see the cause of suffering as not having this, not having the next thing, not having the development of the next era of technology, the next thing in technology. That's what they find the problem as. So therefore, because they feel this vexation a lot, they try to minimize the amount that they have to go through to turn this into this. To make not having to having, they try to minimize the amount that people have to go through to turn not having to having. That's why they say that when you have money, you'll live a good life. Why? Because then you can turn not having to having faster than compared to when you don't have money. That's why they say that. But no matter how many times you turn not having to having, it doesn't solve the problem. Because when you turn not having to having, you get rid of not having, but you don't get rid of wanting. Therefore, again, sometime you'll want it again. Then you'll feel not having that again. Then again, you will want it again, and then you'll try to turn it to having. No matter how many times you turn it to having, you'll always fall into, again, not having. Because it wasn't a solution. The problem was always there. This is the guy who was on your ear. He told you that, just get the next thing. And then he made you want it. And then also, when this happens, when all of this is going on, you fall into another pit, which is that you tie your pleasure that comes with relief of vexation to whatever that you experienced. That is the other pit. And therefore, this becomes a vicious cycle. This feeds itself. Because you find tie experience as pleasure, then you think that experience brought you pleasure, and therefore, you want that experience again. Then wanting increase. When wanting increase, not having becomes the problem again. Therefore, you won't experience it again. The more you experience it, the more proof it will bring you back, saying that this is what brought me happiness. So every single time you experience something, every single time you experience happiness, you have to now focus that it is the relief of vexation that brought me happiness. And every single time that you're in a problem, a vexation, you have to focus that problem onto wanting. Because otherwise, we live in this part. This becomes our story of life. This is the path that people live in. When they don't have something, they turn it to have. When they don't have it, they're in grief. When they have, they're in fear of losing. That is the story of life. This is why wars take place in the world. Simple explanation. When they don't have, they think having would bring me happiness. Therefore, wars take place. If this person is not letting me have it, then I need to get rid of him. Therefore, a huge war takes place. Even between countries. So then, if I can't get rid of him easily, then I need to develop something. Then again, you want that. Again, not having is the problem. Therefore, I need to develop my technology. Therefore, I develop missiles. I improve my armory. Therefore, I can get rid of him easily. Therefore, technology develops. Weapons develop. Knowledge develops. But what does not develop? Wisdom. Because this way, knowledge develops. When you try to see this way, wisdom develops. So this is the spectrum of knowledge. This is where people fluctuate in. This is where many minds in this world fluctuate in. This part. Just a very small part, but many things happen in this world because of this. This is a vicious cycle. This feeds on to one thing again. Because of the experience, that this experience brought me pleasure. Because of that, it feeds on to wanting over and over and over again. So therefore, always try to focus when not having something and you feel that pressure inside your mind. Always try to see that it is the wanting that is bringing me this pressure. And when you experience pleasure, always try to see that it is the release of vexation that brought me pleasure, not this thing. Because as long as you see this thing as a source of pleasure, then you will want it again. There comes in the difference between knowing something and the experience of something. Therefore, how many times, no matter how many times that does someone have to tell you that this is not the one that is bringing you pleasure because you have experience of it. You say, Swaminahansa, I experienced it. I have experience of it. It is going inside your head. Although even when you try to prove yourself that it is not this that is bringing you pleasure, it is the release of vexation. Inside your head, it is barking inside your head. That dog is barking inside your head, saying that this is what brought you pleasure. And then you are trying to debate with that dog inside your head, saying that no, it is the release of vexation. Then he will argue with you, saying that no, it is this thing that brought you pleasure. And then you'll have to go on explaining to your head, inside your head, all these things. Look, first you thought that it's pleasurable, and then you wanted it, and therefore you got into a problem of not having. That's why the release brought you pleasure. Other than that, this object does not bring you pleasure. Okay, so keep that in mind. And tomorrow they have planned a meditation retreat in commemoration of the World Meditation Day. Apparently there's a day like that. Because for us it's all the time meditation. But to the world, there is a day to meditate. At least on that day they will meditate, so that's a positive thought. So just like Vesak and Christmas, you have a day to celebrate your religious leader. But we celebrate him every day. Just like even before this, before we listen to Dhamma, my life was also like that. We used to go to the temple only once a month. That's the day that we celebrated our religious leader. That's it's the day reserved for religion. Because all the other days was to have fun, right? That is what we are born to. Not to go to temples. Because we didn't know this. Because the temple didn't answer, well, we didn't know that this was a problem, right? And the temple does not make not having having. So going to the temple is a waste. That's what we saw. Because the temple does not give you knowledge, the temple does not give not having, it doesn't make not having having. Therefore, even at that time, we should educate ourselves, we should earn money, we should do something that is worthwhile. That is what we thought. But then little did we know that this way was the way to walk in, the way of wisdom, and then you won't need knowledge. Okay, so we'll transfer the merits and conclude the sermon for today. So the program starts at 8 o'clock in the morning, and then it goes on till 5 o'clock in the evening. So you can join that and do meditation tomorrow. So there's a morning sermon as well as a Q&A session in the evening from 1:30 to 1 to 2:30. And then you have the evening session. And then in both sessions, in the morning session as well as the evening session, you'll get time to meditate. And then that's the end of the program tomorrow. So you can join that and keep another step, because there is a plus point to that of having a day. So this is the positive side of that, is because when there is a day and lots of people engage in the same activity, then there is the same type of energy is released to the world. So it supports each other. And that energy supports the other energies. Not other energies. That release of energy, the same type of energy, the same thoughts are released. Because although people do meditation, they want to do meditation, right? So therefore, that is why Guru Angad always says that on the night of 31st, that is why we make a huge resolve that we are going to be a disciple of the Buddha. We are a disciple of the Buddha. That is why we make that resolve, because 31st night is a day, is a time where this whole world makes resolves. So that energy of resolving something and adhering to something, sticking on to something, that energy is released by everywhere. Therefore, it is a time which is very strong to do something like that, to make a resolve. So there's a part like that. So other than that, it's just your normal life. You have to do this. Okay, so we'll transfer the merits and conclude the sermon for today. Let us take a moment to transfer the merits you have acquired throughout the day by making offerings to the infinite virtues of the Noble Triple Gem, observing the precepts and engaging in various meritorious deeds throughout the day. First and foremost, let us remind ourselves how incredibly fortunate we are to be in receipt of the Lord Buddha's teachings, and with immense gratitude let us transfer these merits to the bhikkhus, upasakas and upasikas who since time immemorial have protected and preserved the sublime teachings of the Lord Buddha and have passed it down through the generations of the noble lineage, as in the forms of the Tripitaka, which is thankfully available to us to study, understand, and comprehend the Dhamma. Let's also take a moment to transfer these merits to my teacher, Guru Swami Nahansa, and all the other monks resident at this monastery, as well as the Anagarikas and Anagarika communities attached to the monastery. Let's also take a moment to transfer these merits to all the people who take great efforts to disseminate the teachings of the Lord Buddha, be that by sharing these sermons with others or inviting others to join them, may by the power of these merits, if any of them have been born in the woeful plains, may they redeem themselves and be born in the blissful plains, may by the power of these merits, may they abstain from the unmeritorious deeds, fulfill the meritorious deeds, fulfill the noble eightfold path, and attain the supreme bliss of Nibbana. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Let us also take a moment to transfer these merits to all the devotees, friends of the monastery, for the sake of merits, continue to sustain the Mahasangha. This includes everyone from those of you who have contributed to the construction of the monastery, and those of you who have provided the Mahasangha with shelter, arms, robes, and medicines, and those of you who have provided their know-how and extended their well wishes. May by the power of these merits, May they abstain from their meritorious deeds, fulfill the meritorious deeds, fulfill the Noble Eightfold Path, and attain the supreme bliss of Nibbana. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Let us also take a moment to transfer these merits to all our mothers, fathers, brothers and sisters, our uncles, aunts, cousins, nephews and nieces, our elders, friends and acquaintances, and to anyone and everyone who has helped us, supported us, assisted us in any way, shape or form. May by the power of these merits, may they be healed of any physical and mental ailments, overcome any obstacles to our spiritual progress. May they abstain from the meritorious deeds, fulfill the meritorious deeds, fulfill the Noble Eightfold Path, and attain the supreme bliss of Nibbana. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Let us also take a moment to transfer these merits to all the devas, brahmas, spirits and demons, primarily the Sakadeva, as well as all the numerous gods and deities who are committed to protect and fulfill the Sambhu Sasane. Let us also take a moment to transfer these merits to all our guardian deities who keep watchful eye on us and keep us out of harm's way. May by the power of these merits, may they prosper in divine power and wisdom. May they abstain from the meritorious deeds, fulfill the meritorious deeds, fulfill the Noble Eightfold Path, and attain the supreme bliss of Nibbana. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Let us also take a moment to transfer these merits to all our ancestors who have predeceased us, to all who have been our friends, families and acquaintances in this infinitely long journey of samsara. Let us take a moment to transfer these merits to them. Let us also take a moment to transfer these merits to all the people who lost their lives in natural calamities such as tsunamis, earthquakes, landslides and pandemics, reminding ourselves that among them will be those who have been friends and family to us in this infinite long journey of samsara. Let's take a moment to transfer these merits to them. May by the power of these merits, if any of them have been born in the woeful plains, may they redeem themselves and be born in the blissful plains. May by the power of these merits, may they abstain from the unmeritorious deeds, fulfill the meritorious deeds, fulfill the Noble Eightfold Path, and attain the supreme bliss of Nibbana. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. And finally, let us all make a resolve that may by the power and blessings of all the merits we have acquired throughout the day, we be able to witness the advent of many hundreds of thousands of arhants on this blessed land, and may by the power and blessings of all the merits we have acquired throughout the day and throughout our whole samsara, may you and I, and everyone who has helped make these programs a success, become an Arhat Nuhanse or an Arhanmeni Nuhanse in this very life and in the era of the Gautama Supreme Buddha itself. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. May the blessings of the Noble Triple Gem be with you all. Now the Mahasangha will transfer their blessings to you. Raga ginnen midatnva dvesha ginnen midatnva moha ginnen midatnva Nibbana parama sukhayen sukhita taravetna. Nibbana parama sukhayen sukhita taravetna. Mamada siyalu loka siyalu satnayo nibbana parama sukhayen sukhita taravetna. Nibbana parama sukhayen sukhita taravetna. Nibbana parama sukhayen sukhita taravetna. Raga gini niveva dvesha gini niveva moha gini niveva nivan sapa labeva nivan sapa labeva nivan sapa labeva.
Tunruvange suvisi ananta maha guna belen siru loka siru sattvama nibbana parama sukhen sukita taravetva. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.